some meditation, one for Dharma talk, and then some Q&A.
Ya, jadi kita akan berkreditasi sebentar sebelum ceramah dan nanti nanti sesi tanya jawab.
Okay, so let's so sit up straight and your feet on the floor and your eyes lowered.
Silakan anda duduk dengan postur tegak tapi relax. Matanya agak turun ke bawah.
And then scan your body, see if there's tension anywhere, and if it is released.
Lalu dari kepala pelan-pelan sampai ke kaki, anda perhatikan seluruh bagian tubuh. Lalu sadari apakah ada ketegangan di sana, lalu anda lepaskan.
And remembering how dependent we are on them.
dan mengingat bahwa kita sangat bergantung kepada mereka.
Let's want to repay their kindness.
Kita ingin membalas kebaikan mereka.
And see that the supreme way of repaying kindness is to be able to show others the path to awakening.
Dan cara yang paling mulia untuk bisa membalas kebaikan mereka adalah menunjukkan kepada mereka jalan menuju kemuliaan.
And so in altruistic intention, let us generate that aspiration to attain full awakening ourselves so we can be of greatest benefit to others.
Dengan niat itu, kita akan kuatkan mereka niat untuk mencapai kemuliaan, kebebasan, demi menolong semua orang. Jadi judul ceramah kita malam ini adalah satu buku yang saya tulis bersama dengan seorang penulis yang lain.
It isn't translated into the second edition yet, but I'm going to give Karni a copy of it when I go to Jakarta, and hopefully they will translate it.
Ya, belum ada bahasa Indonesia-nya. Nanti kalau beliau balik ke Jakarta akan memberikan satu kopi kepada penerbit kita, penerbit Karania, untuk diterjemahkan dan diterbitkan.
So, Buddhism teaches us one thing that the Buddha said that we already know is that we all want to be happy and none of us want to suffer.
Ya, Buddha mengajarkan satu hal yang sesungguhnya kita itu sudah tahu. Kita semua mau bahagia dan tidak mau berduka.
I think we all know that intellectually.
Secara intelek, kita ngerti.
But somehow it hasn't penetrated into our heart yet.
Tapi belum meresap ke dalam hati kita.
And so we usually feel like, yes, we and the people we care about want to be happy and avoid suffering. But everybody else, they're just kind of like objects.
Objects.
Like a chair or a table, things you have to navigate around to get what you want.
Jadi kita paham ya diri kita dan orang-orang yang kita kasihi, kita sayangi, mereka mau bahagia dan tidak mau berduka. Tapi makhluk lain, orang lain, itu cuma barang. Barang yang nanti kita gunakan, kita manfaatkan mereka untuk kebahagiaan.
In other words, sometimes when we look at other people, it's as if we think they don't have feelings the same way we do.
Dan kadang-kadang kita kalau lihat orang lain, orang itu kayaknya nggak punya perasaan, cuma kita aja yang punya.
And yet they do, yeah, they have. The wish to be happy and not suffer.
Tapi mereka punya, semua makhluk itu juga punya keinginan untuk bahagia dan tidak mau mengalami duka.
And they all have a life story too.
Dan mereka juga punya kisah hidupnya masing-masing.
Just like we do.
Seperti kisah hidup kita.
And actually our happiness is very intricately related.
Dan kebahagiaan kita itu pasti terkait juga ya, dengan kehadiran mereka, kebahagiaan mereka.
So we usually feel that like we are independent entities, that
Jadi kadang ini kita suka merasa kita ini satu diri yang ada dengan sendirinya, yang bisa berfungsi tanpa bantuan orang lain.
But I think now more than any other time in the ministry, we are dependent on other living beings to stay alive.
Iya, ya, dibandingkan dengan masa kehidupan manusia sebelumnya, masa kehidupan kita sekarang ini sungguh-sungguh memperjelas bahwa kita sangat butuh, sangat bergantung kepada makhluk lain.
In previous centuries, we could kind of build our own house out of thatch leaves and, you know, some sticks. We could grow our own food or pick it off the trees.
Dulu ya, orang bisa bangun rumah sendiri dengan pohon dan daun yang tersedia, atau kita bisa tanam tanaman di hadapan rumah, kita petik dan kita makan. Dulu kita bisa seperti itu.
But now, do you know how to build your own house?
Sekarang, Anda tahu bagaimana membangun rumah Anda sendiri?
Could any of us make, you know, a building like this by ourselves?
Di sini, ada nggak yang bisa membangun gedung seperti ini sendirian?
Do we know how to grow our own food?
Ada tahu cara menanam makanan sendiri?
So we have so many modern conveniences now, but we're completely dependent on other people to have them and to use them.
Ya, hidup kita itu sekarang nyaman banget, tapi kita sangat bergantung kepada orang lain untuk menyediakannya dan kita menggunakannya.
You just think, you know, how many people were involved in building this building?
Coba kita pikirkan, ada berapa banyak orang yang terlibat untuk membangun gedung ini?
Yeah, besides the architect, contractor, plumbers, electricians.
Arsiteknya, kontraktornya, yang masang pipa-pipanya, yang bikin keramiknya, semua banyak sekali kan?
And especially in the case of the temple, all the people who donated to build it.
Untuk wihara khususnya, para donatur ya, yang mendanakan uangnya.
And then you have all the workers who, you know, I don't think it would be really fun building a building in Indonesia given the heat here.
Dan juga para pekerja. Saya rasa kayaknya nggak nyaman banget bangun bangunan di Indonesia yang dengan cuaca panas seperti ini.
Yeah, I mean to be outside all day in a concrete truck or in, you know, running a crane or anything.
Jual. Kebanyakan bukan ini panas bukan bu. Maksudnya bayangin orang bekerja di luar ya, dekat dengan mesin, crane itu pasti panas banget waktu mereka bangun gedung ini.
When we were building our building at the Abbey, we were doing part of it during winter, so people were out the snow building.
Ya, di Abbey tadi udah lihat videonya, mereka waktu membangun biharanya itu ada di musim dingin dan sebagian orang itu keluar membangun di tengah salju.
Yeah. And before we founded the Abbey, I never thought of where water comes from before you turn on the tap and where it goes after you flush the toilet. I never thought it's turning tap it comes flush the toilet.
Sebelum saya bangun wihara saya nggak pernah mikir, ini air datang dari mana? Kan kita cuma puter, airnya keluar, selesai. Terus airnya ini kemana setelah kita gunakan? Habis pakai toilet kan tinggal pecah, keluar. Saya nggak pernah pikirin air ini nanti keluarnya kemana.
Then, when we got the Abbey, and we had to build the building, and we had to put in the water system because we're out away from the city, so we had to build our own water system and our own septic system.
Yeah. Jadi sampai waktu saya harus membangun wihara, baru saya pikirin bagaimana membangun sistem airnya dan sistem septiknya, karena septic tank ya, karena mereka tinggal di luar kota, tempat yang jauh terpencil.
This was not easy.
Ini enggak mudah.
So when people come to the Abbey, I always tell them, you need to really appreciate taking a shower because it costs $147,000 to put in the water system.
$147,000. Wow.
That's just for the water system. It doesn't count the shower and the soap.
Jadi kalau ada orang yang datang tinggal di Abbey untuk mandi, tolong pikirin itu biaya bikin kamar mandinya itu $147,000 kali 14,000 hari.
Yeah, and we have to watch people, you know, build all of this, haul the tanks out, you know, dig the holes, put them in, fit them together. I mean, it's quite a process.
Dan 147 itu belum termasuk sabun. Dan kami selain itu harus melihat, mengawasi orang itu proses kerjanya yang panjang lah ya. Mungkin menggali, dipasang pipa dan sebagainya yang rempok banget kalau bahasa sekarang.
So now I'm aware that you should probably turn on the spigot to get some water. The lives of many people
di sekarang, waktu saya putar keran air, saya menyadari ada tak terhitung ya kehidupan manusia yang bekerja di balik itu semua.
And so with everything we have is like that, the lives of so many people lie behind even the simplest thing that we use.
Jadi kita bisa lihat kehidupan orang itu sangat bergantung, ya. Bahkan untuk satu hal yang sederhana saja yang kita lakukan.
And yet, do we ever think about that? Do we think about how kind all these people were to use their life energy to make things that we lose?
Coba kita renungkan. Orang-orang itu yang menyediakan, yang bekerja untuk menyediakan semua kebutuhan yang kita gunakan, bukankah mereka itu sangat baik?
When you drive along the road, do you think of the, you know, the people who built the road? And again, out in the hot sun here.
Ya, waktu pakai mobil nyetir, mikir, apakah Anda memikirkan orang-orang yang membangun jalan itu dan di tengah teriknya mentari?
I don't know about here, but in the U.S., when we have to drive by where there's a construction zone on the road, everybody complains. How come you're building the road now when I happen to be going by it? Why don't you build it at 2 or 3 a.m. in the middle of the night when I'm not actually using it?
Beliau tidak tahu di sini itu kayak gimana. Tapi kalau di Amerika, kalau orang nyetir terus ketemu jalan yang lagi dibangun, dia ngomel. Kenapa sih bikin jalannya sekarang waktu saya lewat? Enggak jam 2 3, enggak jam 2 atau jam 3 pagi aja.
Do you think that when you look at people fixing the road?
Apakah Anda berpikir seperti itu waktu Anda melewati orang yang sedang membetulkan jalan?
So, you know, when we really think about it, like, why should they go to work at 2 or 3 in the morning for my convenience when they're being so kind already, putting their energy out to build the road that I drive on?
Jadi, kalau kita renungkan, kenapa sih mereka harus bekerja jam 2 atau jam 3 pagi demi kenyamanan saya saja, sedangkan mereka rela ya bekerja untuk kenyamanan saya, untuk membangun jalan untuk saya lewat.
So my point is that we're very dependent on strangers we don't know.
Dan inti,
but without them working, we wouldn't have roads or food or clothes or anything.
Intinya, kita itu sangat bergantung sama orang asing untuk menyediakan kebutuhan kita, pakaian kita, dan semua hal, makanan, semua hal kita butuhkan.
So, when you meditate on this a lot, you realize that you're the recipient of a tremendous amount of kindness to us.
Jika Anda meditasikan betapa kita telah menerima kebaikan yang sangat besar sekali, yang tak terhitung dari begitu banyak kehidupan yang lain.
Now somebody might say, but they didn't build the road just for me because they like me and care about me. They built it to earn a living.
Anda boleh bilang, mereka tak bangun jalan itu karena mereka peduli sama saya, atau mereka menyukai saya, tapi mereka bangun jalan itu kan karena untuk penghidupan mereka.
But the fact is that whatever their motivation for building the road was, we benefit from the fact that they did it.
Yeah. Apapun itu, kita memetik manfaat dari apa yang mereka lakukan.
So, when you really contemplate this a lot, then when you walk down the street or when you're stuck in traffic, you don't feel like, oh, why are all these people here in my way? Why don't they just get out of the way for me? Instead, you think, oh, these are the people who grew the food, made the clothes, built the buildings and the roads that I use. And we see them as real living people with feelings.
Yeah, indeed. Kalau kita lewat ya, macet gitu, Anda nggak komplain ya, orang ini ngapain sih menghalangi jalan saya? Bukankah mereka bekerja untuk memuaskan kebutuhan kita? Dan mereka ini adalah sungguh-sungguh makhluk yang juga punya perasaan.
And then that completely changes your experience of being parked on highway.
Yeah. Jadi ini akan sungguh-sungguh menguat perasaan Anda, dan saat Anda ada di taman ataupun ada di jalan bebas hambatan.
Yeah, because you look all around and you say, these are my kind sentient beings who've been my mothers in previous lives, who are doing all the things that help me in this world.
Yeah, Anda bisa renungkan, mereka ini adalah seperti ibu saya di kehidupan-kehidupan sebelumnya yang telah melakukan begitu banyak hal untuk kenyamanan saya.
So this is a good way to think when you're stuck in traffic.
Saat Anda terjebak macet, Anda renungkan. Ya.
Although I have to admit that the traffic in Jakarta sometimes gets to a point where I can't do this meditation.
Meskipun saya ini ngaku, kadang-kadang kalau di Jakarta macet, saya tuh gak bisa meditasi seperti itu juga.
And I grew up in Los Angeles, and the traffic in Jakarta is worse.
Saya tumbuh di Los Angeles, tapi macet di Jakarta itu lebih parah. Setuju.
Okay. So I find that this meditation on the kindness of others is one that is really important, and if I do it regularly, it really changes the way I look at other people.
Ya, saya menganggap memeditasikan, bermeditasi dengan objek kebaikan orang lain, ini sungguh-sungguh membantu saya mengubah cara saya memandang orang lain.
And I feel related to other people, not as strange to anything.
Iya, dan saya jadi dekat ya, terhubung dengan orang lain. Mereka bukan orang asing.
Because I realize actually, in fact, we are interdependent.
Ya, karena saya sadar kita ini semua saling terhubung, saling bergantung.
So seeing the kindness of our friends and relatives is pretty easy.
Yang melihat kebaikan teman dan saudara sama keluarga itu gampang.
See the kindness of strangers I just talked about.
Dan melihat kebaikan orang asing seperti saya sampaikan tadi.
Now what about all the people we can't stand?
Bagaimana dengan orang-orang yang kita nggak tahan sama?
The people who betray our trust, who gossip about us behind our back, who steal our possessions, who disagree with us.
Orang-orang ini kita nggak tahan sama dia ya. mengkhianati kepercayaan kita, mencuri barang kita, tidak sepakat dengan kita, dan tidak menghormati kita. Orang yang mengkritik Anda.
So what are we supposed to do about those people? Have they been kind to us?
Orang-orang ini mau diapain? Mereka udah baik sama kita.
Okay, you're not going to like the answer, but yes, they have
been kind to us. Jadi, ya, mereka pernah baik sama kita.
Because in previous lives, they've been our parents and they've been kind.
Karena mereka hidup lampau, mereka pernah menjadi hidup kita, dan mereka pernah baik kepada kita.
And also in previous lives, they've been strangers who've made all the things that we use.
Dan kehidupan lampau juga, mereka pernah menjadi orang asing yang membuat hal-hal yang kita pakai.
And even now, when there are enemies, when there are people we don't like, they're still being kind to us.
Dan orang ini, meskipun dia musuh kita, kita tidak suka, tapi tetap aja loh, dia tuh pernah baik sama kita.
And you're gonna say, my enemy's been kind to me? Forget it.
Cius, musuh saya baik sama saya, lupakan.
But it's true, because our enemy challenges us to grow.
Itu betul ya. Mereka pernah baik dan sama kita karena mereka menantang, menantang, memberikan kesempatan kepada kita untuk tumbuh.
Sometimes we're just going on in our life in a very complacent way.
Ya, kita itu suka melanjutkan hidup kita dengan tidak nyaman.
And then along comes an enemy and shakes up our complacency.
Ya, dan datanglah orang ini yang musuh dan dia itu mengancam kenyamanan kita.
By saying, "You're so stupid. Who do you think you are?"
Dan mereka bilang, "Kamu bego. Lu siapa?"
I'm wonderful, sweet,
dan Anda jawab, "Saya orang yang baik, ganteng."
Who do you think you are? Criticizing.
Siapa kamu bilang saya jelek? Mengkritik saya.
Okay. So that person is challenging our self-centeredness.
Orang itu yang menantang sifat egoisme kita.
Okay. Because our self-centeredness has a whole list of rules of the universe.
Karena sifat egois kita itu punya daftar aturan yang berlaku di alam semesta.
Now see in your mind if you have any of these rules of the universe.
Coba Anda pikirin, Anda punya aturan yang berlaku di alam semesta.
First rule is everybody has to like me.
Aturan nomor satu, setiap orang harus menyukai saya.
Second rule, I always have to be comfortable.
Aturan nomor dua, saya harus selalu nyaman.
Three, I have to win every fight.
Nomor tiga, kalau bertengkar, saya harus selalu menang.
Four, I'm always right.
Empat, saya selalu benar.
Five, everybody needs to agree with my ideas.
Nomor lima, setiap orang harus setuju dengan pendapat saya.
Six, everybody should do what I say because I know what's best for them.
Nomor enam, semua orang harus melakukan apa yang saya katakan karena saya tahu apa yang terbaik untuk mereka.
Seven, nobody at all should hurt my feelings.
Nomor tujuh, tidak ada seorang pun yang boleh menyakiti perasaan saya.
In fact, number eight is they should all praise me to my face and behind my back.
Nomor delapan, mereka harus memuji saya di hadapan saya ataupun di belakang saya.
Do you have these rules of the universe?
Anda punya aturan ini? Maybe they need to take it down.
Oh.
Anda mau catat?
Maybe you have some other ones.
Mungkin punya yang lain ya.
Like my husband always has to look at me.
Atau suami saya harus selalu melihat saya.
He's not allowed to look at anybody else. He always has to keep his eyes down on the ground.
Gak boleh lihat orang lain. Kalau kemana-mana, matanya mesti tatap ke bawah.
He also has to tell me he loves me 3 times a day, 3 times a week.
Mesti bilang, aku sayang kamu. 3 kali di pagi hari dan 3 kali di malam hari.
He should also do the dishes.
Dia laki saya, suami saya, okay, itu yang mesti cuci piring.
And clean the house.
Bersihin rumah. Okay. Change the diaper.
Yes, change the diaper.
Ganti popok juga.
Okay. And make a lot of money.
Dan menghasilkan banyak uang.
Okay. Always be handsome, even when he wakes up and he has bad breath.
Harus selalu ganteng meskipun baru bangun dan napasnya bau.
So we find that we have all these rules of the universe, and when they aren't met, we get pretty upset.
Ya, kita punya ya aturan ini, dan kalau tidak terjadi, kita kecewa.
And so who is it that makes us upset? It's our enemies.
Siapa yang bikin kita marah, kecewa, musuh kita?
Because our enemies say your rules of the universe. My rules of the universe are the ones you're living by.
Karena musuh kita bilang aturan kamu nggak penting. Kita hidup dengan aturannya saya, kata si musuh.
Okay. So, you know, it's actually quite good when people challenge us in this way.
Ya, jadi sesungguhnya kalau ada yang menantang kita seperti ini sebenarnya kesempatan bagus.
It may be painful.
Ya, memang sih menyakitkan.
But it helps us see how self-centered we are.
Tapi ini membantu melihat betapa egoisnya ya diri kita.
And if we've been practicing the Dharma for some time, we know that our self-centered attitude is our enemy.
Dan kalau kita sudah cukup lama berpraktik Dharma, kita paham ya, sifat egois kita lah musuh kita.
Because our self-centered attitude, it's all about me.
Karena sikap egois ini semuanya tentang diri saya.
And motivated by that attitude, we create so much negative.
Ya, dan dengan sikap seperti itu kita membuat begitu banyak karma negatif.
Okay, why do we kill animals and insects? Because of our own self-centeredness, we want to get rid of them or we want to eat them.
Kalau kenapa orang membunuh makhluk hidup ya? Karena egois itu, kita mau singkirkan atau kita mau nikmati atau mau makan.
So we think I'm so important that all these fish, all the seafood, the cows, the chickens, the lambs, the goats, everybody should give up their life so that I can have a day.
Yeah. Saya ini egois ya, saya penting banget ya, ikan, apalagi itu sapi dan kawan-kawannya, itu mereka harus merelakan hidup mereka agar saya bisa makan.
But if anybody asks me to give my life up for somebody else's dinner, I'm not going to do it.
Lalu jika ada yang meminta saya mengorbankan nyawa saya untuk makan malam mereka, saya nggak akan melakukan.
But I think they should give up their life for me because I'm so important.
Saya merasa karena saya sangat penting, hewan-hewan itu harus rela kehilangan hidup mereka untuk saya. Ini kayaknya Anda mulai gak suka ya, sebelum ngomong begini. Honorable mau saya vegetarian.
I don't want to be a vegetarian.
Wah, my child.
I like my
Bami Hoci ada.
I became a vegetarian before I became a Buddhist.
Saya bervegetarian sebelum saya menjadi seorang Buddhist.
And I became a vegetarian because I was in Germany with some friends and we were camping.
Ya, kenapa? Waktu itu saya di Jerman bersama kawan-kawan sedang camping.
And we went to the supermarket. We got some sausage.
Ya, kami pergi ke supermarket ya, kami beli sausage.
And in Germany they have this thing called blood sausage.
Sausage itu kayak saus gitu ya. Dan di Jerman itu ada yang disebut saus-saus dari darah. Sausage itu sosis. Oh, maaf ya.
So when we cut the sausage open, blood came out.
Dan waktu sosisnya dipotong, darahnya keluar.
And at that moment it hit me. I'm eating someone else's body.
Saat itu, detik itu, saya jadi sadar, saya sedang makan bagian tubuh seseorang.
And this living being cherishes their life more than anything else in the world.
Dan makhluk ini ya, menghargai hidup mereka lebih dari hal-hal lain di dunia.
In the same way that I cherish my life more than anything.
Seperti saya ya, yang cherish itu penting, hidup saya penting.
And so I thought at that moment, you know, I can't continue eating other people's bodies.
Sejak itu saya merasa saya tidak sanggup lagi makan tubuh makhluk lain.
So after that, when I went to visit my parents, my mother said, "What are you going to eat? We don't have anything in the house you can eat."
Terus saya kunjungi orang tua saya, mama saya bilang, "Kamu mau makan apa? Gak ada di sini yang bisa kamu makan."
I said, "Mom, there's lots of stuff that doesn't have meat."
Bisa bilang, "Mama, ada banyak makanan yang tidak mengandung daging."
She said, "But it doesn't taste good."
Tapi bohong sih.
I said, "Yes, it does. You often eat salad and vegetables. It tastes very good."
Tapi saya bilang, "Enggak kok, enak. Kan ibu sering makan buah-buahan, salad, ya, sayur-sayuran. Mereka itu rasanya enak."
Yeah, and besides, when I was a little kid, you told me to eat my vegetables. So now I am.
Dan ingat waktu kecil, mama selalu suruh saya makan sayur. Sekarang saya mau makan sayur. Ya, orang-orang yang menantang aturan hidup kita membuat kita berpikir.
They make us aware of our unrealistic expectations.
Mereka membuat kita menyadari harapan kita yang tidak realistis.
And these unrealistic expectations are the source of our suffering.
Ya, dan harapan yang tidak realistis inilah yang sesungguhnya sumber atau penyebab duka kita.
And our self-centered attitude is the source of our misery.
Dan sikap egois kita adalah sumber atau penyebab kesengsaraan kita.
If you think of all the negative karma you've ever created in your whole life, it's all created out of self-centeredness.
Kalau Anda pikirkan, renungkan semua karma negatif yang telah kita lakukan, semua bersumber dari pikiran egois kita.
We don't think I'm going to cheat these people for the benefit of all sentient.
Saya nggak akan pikir ya, saya akan tipu dia demi manfaat semua makhluk.
I'm going to ruin somebody else's reputation by talking behind their back out of compassion.
Saya tidak dan saya akan menghancurkan kehidupan orang, reputasinya dengan gosipin dia di belakang ya, dengan motivasi yang baik.
We don't think, "Oh, I love somebody so much, I'm going to plan my revenge for what they did to me."
Kita kan tidak bilang, "Saya sangat mencintai seseorang dan saya akan merencanakan balas dendam atas perbuatannya kepada saya."
So you see how, you know, all our negative karma is created out of the self-centeredness.
Kita lihat ya, kita sadari semua karma negatif kita penyebabnya adalah pikiran egois.
And it's for that reason that we say the self-centered attitude is our enemy, and we need to get rid of it.
Sebab itu, ya, sikap keegoisan kita adalah musuh kita yang sesungguhnya, yang harus kita lenyapkan, kita singkirkan.
But then you're going to say, but my self-centered attitude is a part of me. I can't be separated from it.
Lalu Anda bilang, keegoisan ini bagian dari saya. Saya nggak bisa terpisah dari dia.
Actually, that's not correct.
Tapi sesungguhnya itu tidak tepat.
Yeah. Our self-centered attitude is not who we are.
Sikap egois kita itu bukan diri kita yang sesungguhnya.
It is not the nature of our mind.
Bukan sifat sejati pikiran kita.
Yeah. It's some extra misconception that's been added on, that's obscuring our mind.
Ya, sesuatu dari luar yang telah ditambahkan ke dalam diri kita dan akhirnya melintangi atau menghalangi pikiran kita.
Okay. And so it can be eliminated.
Jadi sesungguhnya sikap itu bisa dilenyapkan.
Okay, the bodhisattvas have eliminated it, all the Buddhas have eliminated it.
Para bodhisattva dan para Buddha telah menyingkirkan mereka.
Okay, so if they did it, so can we.
Jika mereka bisa, kita juga bisa.
And the more we subdue our self-centered attitude, the happier we're going to be.
Ya, jadi kalau kita semakin melemahkan sifat egois kita, kita akan semakin bahagia.
Okay. Because the less self-centered we are, the less negative karma we create.
Jadi semakin sedikit sifat egois kita, karma negatif kita juga semakin sedikit.
Okay, the less obnoxious we are to other people.
Semakin kita menyebalkan bagi orang lain.
Are you sometimes obnoxious?
Obnoxious
means you're a pain in the neck. You treat every year you're rude, you're discourteous, you know, you're selfish. How do you describe obnoxious?
I think the word that I just taught you.
Uh-huh.
The word I taught you.
Yeah.
The bad words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Jadi semakin Anda egois, Anda semakin brengsek. Anda semakin menyebalkan buat orang lain.
Yeah, are you sometimes obnoxious?
Anda kadang-kadang seperti itu?
That's just a little bit.
Dikit doang, ya.
Yeah. Do you sometimes complain?
Kadang Anda mengeluh?
Do you sometimes scream at other people?
Anda kadang maki orang lain enggak?
Or worse yet, you don't even talk to
them. Oh, yang paling buruk, Anda enggak ngomong sama dia.
Do you ever talk about people behind their back?
Pernah ngomongin orang di belakangnya?
Or lie to them?
Atau berbohong kepada mereka?
So some of you I can see know what I'm talking about.
Ya, sebagian orang di sini saya tahu paham maksud saya.
And some of you are sitting there like, who me?
Sebagian lagi duduk.
I don't do that.
Saya nggak duduk kok.
You're talking about my husband and wife. They're the others.
So bantai ngomongin suami atau istri orang itu, tapi bukan saya. Saya manis banget kan?
Okay. So this the more we're able to reduce this self-centeredness, the more we're gonna have better relationships with other people.
Semakin kita mampu mengecilkan ya sifat egois ini, hubungan kita dengan orang lain akan semakin baik. Kita akan memperlakukan mereka dengan lebih hormat. Kita lebih bermurah hati. Lebih membantu.
When you're kinder, more generous, more helpful, don't you have better relationships?
Kalau Anda lebih baik, lebih lembut, lebih banyak membantu, bukankah hubungan Anda akan lebih baik?
And don't you feel better about yourself?
Dan tidakkah Anda merasa buruk tentang diri Anda sendiri?
Because when we're obnoxious, in the moment we're obnoxious, obnoxious. We feel like I am entitled to do whatever I want.
Kalau waktu kita lagi jadi orang brengsek, kita ini punya hak untuk melakukan semua yang saya mau.
But later on in the day, like right before you go to bed, and you're thinking about what you did, and you realize how you acted, do you sometimes feel not so good about yourself?
Dalam malam, mau tidur, lalu ada renungkan semua perbuatan Anda, tidakkah Anda merasa tidak nyaman dengan diri Anda?
Feel a little bit ashamed of how we acted so cruelly to somebody else.
Rasa sedikit malu ya, bagaimana kita sedikit kejam sama orang lain.
So that kind of remorse is rooted in our self-centeredness that made us act in such a rude, obnoxious way.
Jadi kebiasaan itu membuat kita menjadi orang yang resek, brengsek, sehingga kita berperilaku resek.
Now we usually think that if somebody has love and compassion, the people that they have love and compassion for are the people who benefit the most.
Benefit.
Benefit. Like if I have love and compassion, and I have love and compassion for you and these people, that you all benefit from my love and compassion, but I don't benefit from it so much.
Jadi maksudnya gini, kalau saya menyayangi Anda semua, ya, maka Anda semua yang paling mendapat keuntungan dari rasa sayang saya kepada Anda. Ya. Saya tidak dapat apa-apa.
Kind of like if I have love and compassion, that means I'm sacrificing my own happiness.
Artinya kalau saya punya belas kasih, saya sepertinya mengorbankan diri saya sendiri.
Actually, it's the reverse.
Tapi sesungguhnya itu kebalikannya loh.
When we cultivate love and compassion, we're the ones who benefit most from our own love and compassion.
Kalau kita mengembangkan kasih dan belas kasih kita, kitalah yang paling memetik keuntungannya.
No, it is true that when we develop love and compassion, the people around us benefit.
Memang benar kalau kita mengembangkan kasih dan belas kasih, orang-orang di sekitar kita memetik manfaat.
But that's not guaranteed. We can't make sure that they benefit from our love and compassion. It's up to them. We can't control it.
Tapi nggak ada jaminan kalau mereka pasti ya bahagia karena kasih dan belas kasih kita. Karena kita tidak bisa mengendalikan mereka.
But when we cultivate love and compassion, our own mind has more peace, less regret, less guilt.
Ya, jadi kalau kita yang mengembangkan kasih dan belas kasih, pikiran kita yang lebih bahagia, lebih tenang.
More joy.
Lebih bersuka cita, lebih gembira.
And that's guaranteed from having love and compassion.
Dan itu pasti dijamin ya, jika kita punya kasih dan belas kasih.
So it's really this, the Dalai Lama always talks about this. And he says, when I have love and compassion for others, I'm the one who benefits most from it.
Yang Arya Dalai Lama sering banget bicara, kalau saya punya kasih dan belas kasih, sayalah yang paling memetik manfaat, mendapatkan manfaat.
And scientists have also done studies, and they realize that in fact, people are happier when they act in ways that benefit other people.
Dan ilmuwan telah meneliti dan mengungkapkan bahwa orang-orang itu lebih bahagia saat mereka berperilaku ya, dengan cara-cara yang membuat orang lain mendapatkan manfaat.
Isn't that interesting that we're happier when we can benefit others than when we just think about ourselves?
Ya. Menarik ya bahwa kita bisa lebih bahagia saat kita memikirkan orang lain, bukannya memikirkan diri kita sendiri.
And they even talk, the neurologists talk now about something called mirror neurons.
Mirror. Para ahli syaraf, mereka membicarakan sesuatu yang disebut sebagai cermin syaraf.
So if somebody else is feeling something and we're with them, we can sense what they're feeling, and these mirror neons of neurons light up, and we have empathy for other people.
Kalau kita bersama orang lain, kita bisa merasakan yang mereka rasakan karena syaraf cermin kita bekerja, ya.
So here it is even neurologically, that we have empathy for other living beings.
Kita punya empati kepada makhluk lain, dan secara syaraf pun kita jadi punya empati kepada makhluk lain.
And empathy is the basis for love and compassion.
Empati adalah dasar untuk kasih dan belas kasih.
Okay. So this is really quite important, because if we see the benefits of cherishing others and the disadvantages of self-centeredness, then we really, engage in transforming our lives to correspond.
Jadi kita akan sungguh-sungguh mentransformasi kehidupan kita kalau kita sungguh-sungguh menyadari manfaat dari pikiran yang ingin membahagiakan orang lain dan mengurangi sifat egois kita.
And we experience the benefits right away.
Dan kita langsung merasakan manfaatnya.
Because let's face it, when we're kinder, we're going to get along better with other people.
Bayangin ya, kalau kita jadi orang yang lebih baik, kita pasti get along itu hubungan kita baik dengan orang lain.
Okay, so we have to get rid of all of our rules of the universe.
Dan kita harus menghilangkan semua aturan alam semesta milik kita.
And then when enemies come along and point out our rules of the universe.
Dan kalau ada musuh datang dan tunjukin aturan kita.
Then we have to say thank you very much.
Kita bersujud, berbungkuk, dan bilang terima kasih banyak.
I'm always saying that I want to improve myself and let go of my faults. And now this enemy is telling me how to do it.
Saya selalu bilang, ya, saya ingin mengetahui kesalahan saya, memperbaiki diri saya, dan orang ini mengajarkan saya bagaimana melakukannya.
So don't we have to thank them for helping us?
Jadi bukankah kita harus berterima kasih kepada mereka karena ia telah membantu kita?
Sometimes the person who hurts us, is the person who really benefits our dharma practice.
Kadang-kadang orang yang paling menyakiti kita, mereka yang paling berguna bagi praktik dharma.
So I want to tell you a story about one of my teachers, Lama Yeshe.
Saya ingin berbagi kisah tentang salah satu guru saya, Lama Yeshe.
So you probably know that around 1949-1950, Tibet was occupied by the Chinese Communist government.
Kita tahu sejarah ya, 1949-1950, Tibet itu dijajah oleh China.
And in 1959, there was an uprising against the communist rule, but it was squashed very violently.
1959 ada pergerakan untuk melawan orang Cina ini, dan mereka langsung dibasmi.
So during the time of the uprising, Lama was a monk. He was about 24 years old at that time. He was a monk at Sarah monastery. And because there was all the turmoil and fighting, he and some of his friends went into the mountains.
Went into the mountains behind
the monastery. And they thought, okay, after a couple of days, the fighting will stop. We'll go back to our monastery and everything will continue as before.
Yeah. Jadi Lama Yeshe waktu itu masih muda, umurnya 24, dan mereka tinggal di Minara. Dan ketika terjadi pergolakan ini, dia dan beliau dan beberapa biksu lain kabur ke pegunungan di belakang Minara. Dan mungkin mereka bilang, ini cuma beberapa hari aja. Dan nanti kita akan bisa kembali ke Minara kita.
But that's not what happened.
Tapi itu tidak terjadi.
Because the His Holiness the Dalai Lama escaped and fled to India. There was a very violent suppression mention of the uprising, and tens of thousands of Tibetans, including the Lama and his friends, fled over the Himalaya mountains in the snow into India.
Ya, tapi itu tidak terjadi ya. Dalai Lama kemudian pergi ke India, kabur, dan kondisinya semakin buruk, dan puluhan ribu orang Tibet juga mengungsi, termasuk Dalai Lama Yeshe dan teman-temannya juga mereka kabur ke India melalui gunung pegunungan Himalaya.
Yeah. So Nehru, who was the prime minister at that time, was very kind to let tens of thousands of Tibetan refugees in.
Perdana Menteri India waktu itu, ya, Nehru, sangat baik mengizinkan puluhan ribu pengungsi Tibet untuk masuk ke India.
But India is not a rich country, and they didn't know where to house all these people.
India bukan negara kaya, dan mereka juga tidak tahu ribuan orang ini mau ditempatkan di mana.
So some of you may have seen the movie Seven Years in Tibet.
Mungkin ada pernah nonton film judulnya Seven Years in Tibet.
So you may remember that Heinrich Herr, who was played by Brad Pitt, yeah, that he was in a British POW camp.
Nah, Anda ingat ya, ada satu adegan yang main Brad Pitt, di mana dia itu ditangkap, ya, dimasukkan ke dalam camp.
So that's where all the monks who escaped from Tibet went into that POW camp.
POW itu kayak prisoner of war, tahanan perang. Jadi tempatnya seperti apa Anda bisa bayangkan, dan orang-orang Tibet itu tinggal pergi ke tempat seperti itu.
Many of them got sick and died.
Banyak yang jatuh sakit dan meninggal.
Because Tibet is very high altitude, so you don't have many bacteria and viruses. India is filled with bacteria and viruses.
Himalaya kan tinggi, nggak banyak bakteri sama virus. Kalau India itu di bawah, jadi kebayang banyak sekali bakteri dan virus.
So they set up, you know, their monastery as best as they could, with very little food, very little medicine, in this POW camp.
Jadi mereka bangun wiharanya di tempat tahanan perang ini, makanannya sedikit.
Later on, after some time, Lama was able to leave, and somebody, you know, helped to get some land to start a monastery.
Dan tidak lama-lama kemudian, ya, Lama juga sudah bisa hidup dengan baik, dan ada orang-orang yang bisa membantu mencari tanah untuk membangun wihara Kopan di Nepal.
She could only imagine what he went through. Because, you know, he fled like that. They had to go very quickly. Never seen his family again.
Nah, bayangkan ya, Lama itu harus pergi secepat mungkin. Gak pernah lagi ketemu keluarganya.
Yeah, his whole monastic life totally, you know, disheveled, uprooted.
Ya, seluruh kehidupan monastiknya itu jadi berantakan. Akarnya pun tercabut.
And then becoming a refugee in a country where he couldn't even speak the language.
Jadi pengungsi di negara yang beliau sendiri bahasanya yang tidak bisa ucapkan.
So one day he was telling us about, you know, what I just relayed to you, you know, his journey into becoming a refugee.
Satu hari Lama Yeshe menceritakan kisahnya sendiri yang beliau baru saja ceritakan kepada kita.
And in the middle of this, you know, well, we all know that you know, the Cultural Revolution, this whole situation in Tibet and so on, it was all rooted in Mao Zedong and his actions.
Semua kisah-kisah ini kan kita tahu semua ya. Tapi di masa Mao Zedong ini kan dia ditutupi.
So Lama's telling us the story, and at one point, he puts his hands together like this, and he says, I really have to thank Mao Zedong.
Di tengah-tengah cerita, Lama Yeshe merangkupkan kedua tangannya dan mengatakan, saya harus sungguh-sungguh berterima kasih kepada Mao Zedong.
Yeah, I'm going, huh?
Saya memohon, huh?
You're grateful to Mao Zedong for having to go through all of this.
lama bersyukur, terima kasih sama mau cetung atas semua kesusahan kamu.
And then he explained that when he was living in his monastery, he was very complacent.
Ya, lalu lama jelasin waktu masih tinggal di biaranya, dia nyaman banget.
He did in his education studies, he did well in them. He was on the road to becoming the equivalent of a PhD.
Beliau itu belajar ya, dan nyaman banget dan proses belajarnya untuk mencapai gelar S3.
He probably would have gone back to his village and been the abbot of the monastery.
Dia kalau tidak ada kejadian itu, dia itu mungkin akan pulang ke daerahnya sendiri dan jadi pemimpin di wilayahnya.
And he said he probably would have had quite a comfortable life.
Dan ya, hidup saya mungkin akan cukup nyaman.
But he said, living that way, he would not have understood the real essence of the Buddha's teachings.
Tapi kalau hidup dengan nyaman seperti itu, mungkin dia tidak akan sungguh-sungguh memahami inti atau esensi ajaran Buddha.
That having to go through the whole experience of being a refugee made him really take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma and Sangha.
Dengan semua pengalaman itu, ya, yang menjadi pengungsi, beliau sungguh-sungguh memahami makna dan berlindung kepada Buddha Dhamma dan Sangha.
And it really taught him that external things are not the cause of happiness, and that happiness came from cultivating our inner qualities.
Dan menyadari ya, kebahagiaan itu tidak berasal dari penyebab luar, tapi sungguh-sungguh bersumber dari kualitas di dalam diri kita.
So he said, I learned that due to the kindness of Mount St.
Lama Yesus mengatakan, saya belajar itu semua karena kebaikan mau cerita.
So if you think of the person who hurt you the most in this life, did that person also make you grow? Did they make you understand something that you wouldn't have understood otherwise?
Karena bukan orang yang menyakiti Anda membuat Anda tumbuh dan berkembang dan memahami sesuatu yang kalau bukan karena orang itu Anda tidak akan paham.
And in that way, can you look at them and say they were kind to me because they helped me grow?
Dengan cara seperti itu, bisa nggak kita lihat orang itu dan berterima kasih karena dia telah membantu saya untuk itu?
What do you think? Can you do that?
Bisa. Apa pendapat Anda? Anda bisa lakukan itu?
It's possible.
Ini bisa loh. Ini mungkin.
And if you can change, transform your mind to do that, you're going to let go of all the hatred and the huge grudge that you've been carrying around in your heart for many years.
Jadi kalau Anda bisa mengubah sudut pandang, Anda bisa melepaskan ya begitu banyak kebencian dan dendam yang Anda sudah pendam selama bertahun-tahun.
Okay, so do you see how seeing the kindness of others, cherishing others, even if they harmed you, is the source of your own happiness?
Anda bisa lihat ya, Anda semangat atas kebaikan orang lain, Anda ingin membahagiakan mereka, sesungguhnya itulah sumber kebahagiaan kita.
Because Lama's compassion for Mao, Lama was the one who benefited from it. Mao, by that time, had already probably been reborn in the hell realms. Seriously, you look at the karma he created.
Paham ya? Jadi karena kasih dari Lama Yeshe, ya, dia menciptakan begitu banyak karma baik. Ya.
sekarang maksudnya pada saat itu mau cetung itu mungkin sudah lahir di alam yang entah di mana karena karma nggak terlalu banyak.
Okay. So sometimes when we hold on to grudges, we think that this is really good. I have a grudge against somebody who harmed me, and they're suffering because I'm still mad.
Jadi kita sering berpikir kalau kita mendendam sama orang dan kita marah sama dia, mereka yang menderita karena kemarahan saya.
Is the other person suffering because you hate them because of what they did 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago?
Apakah orang itu berduka atau tidak bahagia karena kebencian Anda, kemarahan Anda atas sesuatu yang ia lakukan 10 atau 20 tahun yang lalu? Mereka menderita nggak karena Anda masih membenci dia?
No,
hidup mereka terus berlanjut.
Yeah, they have their lives, their career, their family, they're enjoying.
Mereka menikmati hidup mereka bersama keluarganya, karirnya. Siapa yang menderita karena dendam kita? Siapa yang menderita? Kita sendiri kan?
They did something once to us, but every day we think they did this. I hate them. Next day. They did this. Then we take out our mala. They did this. They did this.
Jadi ada mungkin mereka melakukan satu kesalahan, lalu Anda kesal mereka yang melakukan ini. Besoknya Anda pikirin lagi karena dia. Besoknya Anda pikirin lagi. Jadi Anda ngambil tasbih ya. Ini karena dia. Ini karena dia.
Then at the end, you want to dedicate the merit, but there's no merit.
Dan setelah selesai, Anda mau berbagi pelimpahan jasa. Jasa apa yang telah kita perbuat?
Because we were saying the wrong mantra.
Karena kita baca keng yang salah.
Yeah, we weren't saying Mani Padme Hum, the mantra of compassion. We were saying, I hate you.
Jadi bukan yang baca Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, kita bacanya gua benci lu, gua benci lu, gua benci lu, gua benci lu, gua benci lu.
Okay. So we're the ones who suffering.
Kan kita kan yang menderita.
Yeah. When we forgive somebody, yeah, we're simply letting go of our anger. That's it.
Saat kita memaafkan seseorang, kita melepaskan kemarahan kita.
We're not saying that the other person did was okay.
Kita enggak bilang ya perbuatan dia enggak apa-apa. Kita enggak ngomong seperti itu.
Because maybe what they did is not okay.
Karena mungkin perbuatan mereka memang buruk.
But we decided that we're going to stop torturing ourselves by being angry.
Tapi kita mengatakan bahwa saya akan berhenti ya menyiksa diri saya dengan kemarahan saya.
And those of you who are parents, I think you have to pay special attention to this.
Untuk para orang tua, ya, Anda harus memberikan perhatian istimewa untuk hal ini.
Because when you hold grudges against other people, through your example, you're teaching your children how to hold grudges.
Kalau Anda punya dendam, ya, pada orang lain, kita mengajarkan ke anak kita. Memiliki dendam.
I come from a family with so many people don't speak to each other.
Ya, lewat contoh kita ya, kita mendengar orang lain, kita ngajarin anak kita juga mendengar. Dan saya datang dari keluarga, begitu banyak anggota keluarganya nggak bicara satu sama lain.
Making a seating chart for a wedding is impossible because this one doesn't talk to that one.
Jadi tahu ya, ngatur meja makan buat resepsi kawin susah. Si ini nggak ngomong sama itu nggak ngomong sama anu, atau ngomong sama ini nggak ngomong sama itu.
And when as a parent, you hold these kind of grudges, you're teaching by your example to your children to hold grudges against other family members.
Sebagai orang tua, jika anda mendendam, dengan anda memberi contoh mendendam kepada sesama anggota keluarga.
Or if you have prejudice and hold grudges against people of different racial, ethnic, religious groups, you're teaching your children to do that too.
Kalau anda punya prasangka kepada orang lain dan mendendam karena perbedaan ras dan agama dan sebagainya, anda juga mengajarkan kepada anak anda untuk mendendam kepada orang lain.
And as we all know, many people suffer and many people die when there's outbreaks of racial violence and religious violence.
Kita tahu ya, banyak orang sengsara, banyak orang susah ya, karena violence, kekerasan karena ras, karena perbedaan agama.
So your contribution to your child's future and safety is to let go of your grudges and your prejudices.
Tanggung jawab kita atas kedamaian dan keamanan anak kita adalah dengan melepaskan kemarahan dan dendam.
Don't teach your child how to hate.
Jangan ajarkan anak anda cara membenci.
So, I've talked for a little bit. So we're out of time. There's no time for questions and answers.
And of course. Thank you for that. That's dedicated. yang kemarin nggak datang mungkin nggak ngerti. Kita kemarin bilang kalau ada pertanyaan nggak? Dihitung 1 sampai 5 baru nanya. Jadi untuk malam ini tidak ada pertanyaan. Kecuali ada yang angkat tangan sekarang juga. Oh, I said we're gonna close unless there is questions directly and Mr. Santo just raise his hand.
Good.
Mungkin bisa ya mikrofonnya ada. Terima kasih.
Kalau dunia kerja
in career world, in business world,
kan misalnya saya seorang manager,
let's say I am a manager,
saya pasti punya bawahan,
I have subordinates,
dan kalau mereka melakukan kesalahan,
if they make mistakes,
kan saya mulai,
I need to get, how do you say that, it's not really angry, but tell them they are wrong.
Yeah.
Dan atau kalau mereka tidak melakukan tanggung jawab mereka,
or if they are being irresponsible,
saya mungkin kan tidak boleh terlalu berbaik hati.
I cannot be too kind to them.
Saya perlu tegas.
I need to be strict.
Bagaimana cara kita membedakan atau menarik garis?
How can we make a difference or cross or draw a line? Between this is kindness of heart, this is professionalism.
You're
responsible. How can you draw a line?
Can you be strict and kind at the same time?
Bisa nggak tegas dan baik sekaligus?
In other words, just does a holding. Do you have to be mean in order to hold people responsible?
Anda perlu kejam nggak agar orang-orang bertanggung jawab?
Yeah. Or is there a way of speaking to people to hold them responsible, help them understand their mistake and how to not make it in the future? But without denigrating, humiliating them.
Jadi ada loh cara-cara kita negur bawahan kita, kasih tahu kesalahannya, dan minta mereka bertanggung jawab tanpa harus kasar dan bahkan menghina.
Because you know when we get really aggressive on other people, we humiliate them, we criticize them, we make them feel like they're dirt. They can't even listen to what we say about how to actually do their job in a better way because they're so emotional at that time. Yeah, so they can't even hear the good stuff that you're saying to them.
Ya, kalau kita kasar sama orang ya, sampai menghina, itu kan mereka sangat sakit ya. Mereka emosi sekali, karena emosi, karena rasa sakit itu, mereka bahkan tidak bisa mendengarkan nasihat kita, mendengarkan petunjuk-petunjuk kita, mendengarkan hal-hal yang harus mereka lakukan, karena mereka sangat sakit.
Whereas if you're able to say it in a kind way, but they know that you're serious about what you're saying, and you say it in a way that respects them as human beings, they'll be able to listen to what you're saying.
Jadi kalau kita berbicara dengan sopan, menganggap mereka sebagai manusia, dan kita tegas, sekaligus tegas, dan mereka bisa mendengarkan kata-kata kita, maksud kita.
And I think the same goes for children once they've reached the age where they can understand things.
Anak-anak juga sama ya, khususnya kalau mereka di usia di mana mereka sudah bisa punya pengertian.
If you have a teenager and all you do is criticize them and make them feel lousy, they become so emotionally negative towards you that what the good advice you're trying to tell them, they can't hear.
Nah, kalau kita punya anak remaja ya, terus kita marahin terus, kita bilang mereka nggak mampu, ya mereka tidak akan bisa mendengarkan nasihat-nasihat yang kita berikan kepada dia.
Whereas if you say, let's sit down and look at this situation and see, you know, what's beneficial behavior.
Ya, anak remaja kita nggak akan mendengarkan nasihat kita juga ya. Lalu mari kita duduk dan kita lihat bagaimana cara-cara yang lebih membawa manfaat, yang lebih menguntungkan.
And when you do this, what kind of things happen? And when you do this, what are the results?
Kita renungkan, kalau kita melakukan ini, hasilnya apa? Melakukan itu, hasilnya apa?
So you teach your child how to think about the results of their actions.
Ajarkan anak kita dampak dari perbuatan mereka.
And that's a good skill for your child to have.
Dan mengetahui yang akibat dari satu perbuatan adalah keterampilan yang bagus yang anda harus miliki.
Whereas if you just yell and scream at the top of your voice, ah, why did you do that? You idiot kid, wham!
Yeah. Daripada kita bilang, karena gua malu, aku yong.
Are you gonna have a good relationship with your child?
Dengan cara seperti itu, kita omel-omelin, apakah hubungan kita baik dengan mereka?
Your child will fear you, but there's a difference between fear and respect.
Anak kita takut sama kita, tapi beda loh antara takut sama menghormati. Cukup ya, sampai di sini. Moderatornya pulang nggak selamat. Cukup ya. Oke, sebelah kanan saya. Iya. Yes. Kocun bla bla bla, maaf. Singkat, jelas, padat, langsung.
Saya bertanya mengenai masalah kekerasan yang asing dengan
I would like to ask about how we deal violence with love and confrontation.
Langsung aja, saya terjemahin.
Saya ingin tanya, Kira-kira sampai sejauh mana?
How far?
Cinta kasih
love
mengatasi kerasan seperti
violence.
Masalah
like
perang
war
yang menggunakan agama
war
bukan
war,
untuk menyelesaikan masalah
war
with
religious based.
Misalnya bagaimana kita menyapi kondisi keadaan Myanmar.
Let's say how can we face the situation in Myanmar. There is a relation between the
Rohingya
and the Rohingya.
What's
your view on this?
Good. Very good question.
How? Four.
Very difficult question.
Pertanyaannya juga susah.
I can't pretend to have the perfect answer to it.
Saya tidak akan pura-pura punya jawaban yang sempurna.
But I can say that the way the Buddhists in Myanmar are treating the Rohingya is making the problem worse.
Bisa mau katakan cara umat Buddha memperlakukan etnis Rohingya malah memperburuk persoalan.
Persecuting people never solves the problem.
Ya, kalau menghukum mati orang itu tidak akan menyelesaikan masalah.
Suppressing and oppressing people never solves the problem.
Menekan orang, memaksa orang tidak akan pernah menyelesaikan masalah.
So I think in the situation in Myanmar, if the Buddhists instead had some compassion for the situation of the Rohingya, made them citizens. They live in the country for many generations. Why can't they be citizens?
Kalau Buddhis Myanmar punya welas asih, pengungsi-pengungsi itu menjadi warga negara aja. Karena mereka telah tinggal di sana berpuluh-puluh tahun.
Yeah, build schools for their children. Give them good medical care. If you do that, they're going to like you.
Bangun sekolah, pusat kesehatan untuk mereka, dan kalau dilakukan, mereka akan menyukai Anda.
Whereas when you treat them in that way, you know, it's creating so much anger, and the whole country is getting a horrible reputation now.
Dengan perlakuan itu, mereka jadi marah, pengungsinya marah, dan seluruh negaranya kan jadi punya reputasi yang buruk. Jelas banget. Okay.
Yes. Let me make one other comment. You know, after 9/11 in the U.S., when they crashed the planes into the Twin Towers.
Anda tahu ya setelah kejadian 11 September,
I think the whole world was really sympathized with the U.S.
Seluruh dunia itu sangat bersimpati sama Amerika Serikat.
And the U.S. could have created a lot of goodwill at that time.
Amerika itu harusnya bisa punya banyak niat baik saat itu.
But what did the government do?
Tapi Anda lihat apa yang dilakukan pemerintah?
They told us to be angry, and they went and started a war.
Mereka minta kami marah, dan mereka memulai perang.
And that war created so much hostility towards the U.S.
Dan perang itu menciptakan begitu banyak ketidakstabilan di Amerika.
I'm not saying that they just should have done nothing, but definitely starting a war, starting two wars, did not solve the problem.
Saya nggak bilang harusnya mereka diam aja, tapi memulai dua perang tidak akan menyelesaikan persoalan.
I don't understand why people fight wars, because to me, if you're a human being with human intelligence, violence is not an appropriate way to solve a conflict.
Saya nggak tahu ya kenapa manusia itu kan punya kecerdasan, pintar. Yang jelas perang, pertikaian itu bukan cara yang intelligent untuk menyelesaikan konflik.
If you're 3 years old and you're in a sandbox with your friends and they take your toy, you're 3 years old. If you throw sand at a friend, I can understand that because you're 3 years old.
Kalau Anda umurnya 3 tahun lagi main-main,
Kalau temennya ganggu, Anda tipu. Saya bisa ngerti, karena Anda baru 3 tahun.
But when you're an adult and you think that violence is going to solve a problem, that's craziness.
Tapi Anda dewasa dan berpikir kekerasan bisa menyelesaikan persoalan, gila.
You know what I've always thought we should do?
Anda tahu apa yang seharusnya kita lakukan?
Get the leaders of all the countries that are at war, put them in a sandbox and let them fight it out.
Jadi para pemimpin negara yang pertikaian ini, ya, letakkan di dalam kotak biar mereka aja yang berkelahi.
And then leave the rest of us alone.
Dan ya kita ini jangan nggak usah ikut campur.
Because most of the citizens of the country don't want war.
Kebanyakan penduduk ya di negara-negara tersebut tidak menginginkan perang.
Because war is horrible.
Perang itu sangat buruk.
Okay.
Ya. Okay. Iya. Langsung sayap kanan. Brother Wang Wei.
Oke, boleh ya. Kenapa saya cara pertanyaan? Ini boleh
saya tiga ya? Can I ask 3 questions directly?
One at a time.
Satu-satu ya.
Kalau kita terlalu menerima, itu kondisi batin kita juga sangat tersiksa.
If we keep grudges to hold much, it's painful.
Kalau kita terlalu,
but in the other way, if we love someone too much,
itu juga kondisi batin kita juga menyiksa.
It's also painful.
Karena kita ingin mengubahnya dan sebagainya. Bagaimana mau?
Apa-apa, sorry saya nggak nangkep tadi agak putus-putus. Kalau kita
memendam juga itu ibaratnya sebagai kondisi membuat kondisi batin kita tersiksa.
Oke, terus?
Menyayangi juga kondisi batin juga menyiksa.
Oke, terlalu mendendam dan terlalu mencintai ya.
Iya betul. Jadi maksudnya bagaimana kita mengharmonisasi hal tersebut? Itu okay. Satu.
Tunggu kok. Satu-satu. Duduk dulu.
He's been a best friend actually.
Okay.
So the thing is, if we hate someone too much, uh-huh. So we hold grudges, it's suffering. Mm-hmm. But if we love someone too much too, it's also causing us problems. So how can we balance and harmonize this?
That the love, when you love somebody too much, it hurts you, that's not actual love, that's attachment.
Saya suka sekali kalimat ini. Jika Anda sangat mencintai seseorang, itu bukan cinta kawan, itu kemelekatan.
Yeah. It's attachment that wants to possess a person. That's not love.
Kemelekatanlah yang membuat kita ingin memiliki orang itu. Itu bukan cinta.
Next question.
Yeah. Pertanyaan berikutnya. Oh belum sih, yang itu 3.
Pertanyaan kedua, kalau kita melihat kondisi seseorang itu dan kita ingin merubah, ternyata kondisinya seseorang itu tidak bisa kita rubah. Apa yang harus kita lakukan?
Okay,
apakah biarkan saja demikian atau bagaimana? Apa kita berusaha terus merubah dia?
Thank you. Jadi, if we see someone's condition and we say we want to change him or her, mm-hmm. but we see that it is impossible mm-hmm. for him or her to change, or we don't have any capacity to mm-hmm. to create a change, so mm-hmm. what should we do?
Mm-hmm. You hit them over the head. I'm joking.
Kasih tendangan tanpa bayar. Nggak serius ya.
It's true, sometimes somebody's very stuck. They can change, but they don't want to.
Kadang-kadang nih, keadaannya begini. Dia enggak.
He wanted or he doesn't?
No, he has the possibility to change, but he doesn't want to change.
Jadi, orang ini sebenarnya bisa berubah, tapi dia enggak mau berubah.
Other times, we don't know what is a beneficial action to help the other person.
Dan kita juga nggak tahu ya perbuatan apa sih yang bisa kita lakukan untuk membantu dia.
So this is why we need to become Buddhists.
Oleh sebab itulah kita perlu menjadi Buddha.
Yeah. Because as a Buddha, we'll have much more skill and knowledge and ability to give
benefit. Sebagai Buddha, kita lebih punya banyak pengetahuan dan keterampilan agar mampu ya punya kemampuan yang lebih dan memberi manfaat lebih.
In the situation you describe, when we're ordinary beings, then all we can do is just leave the other person be and keep the door open in case sometime in the future they seek our help.
Ya, untuk itu biarkan saja, tapi hati kita tetap terbuka. Ya. Siapa tahu suatu hari nanti dia membutuhkan bantuan kita. Ya, last one then, yeah. For you.
No.
Okay, cukup. Gak depan. Sorry kok. Langsung aja nggak apa-apa. Mungkin masih bisa kedengeran. Tunggu cik. Pakai mic. Sorry ya.
Sorry.
Nama budaya.
Okay. Sure.
Saya kok malah nggak ngerti. I cannot understand the English.
Cara melunasi utang karma antara suami dan istri.
Okay.
Actually, let's say, how can we repay our debt karma between husband and wife?
Repay the karma.
Yeah, let's say not repay. It's kind of debt. I think the question is like this: me and someone, because we are related, because there is a karma between us.
Yeah.
So how can we repay? So the karma itself is like kind of debt that someone has to pay.
Oh, it's not a debt.
Yeah, but that's the understanding.
Oh, but say that it's not a debt.
Hutang kan? Hutang karma kan? Nah, ini susah ngerjemainnya ini.
I mean, I told you it's quite difficult to translate.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I owe some. I have a relationship with my wife, for example.
Yeah.
So of course there is a bind between us that keep us together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of so they most people think that it's kind of debt that we have to pay.
No, it's not a debt.
So maybe some emotion.
It's not a debt. You have responsibility to your spouse, but you don't have a debt to them.
Kita punya tanggung jawab sama pasangan hidup kita, tapi itu bukan kita. Ya, kasih mic-nya. Sometimes it's gonna be.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm married with him, okay, and then he probably she or he creates me suffering and that I have to pay for what I did probably in the past.
Suffering.
Ya, enggak apa-apa.
Bukan siap saya.
Wah. She spoke in Hokkien. And they laugh because I don't understand. Ketua bawa bengkel ya? Iya.
Sometimes I even ask questions, I face the wall, and I ask, why, and why?
You mean, why are you married to your husband?
Kenapa menikah sama dia?
I love him so much.
Tapi ini him, bukan her, ya?
Sumber kebahagiaan anak apa-apa.
yang bisa bantu bantu ya, karena ini kan pertanyaannya bagus.
Terus terang ya, saya baru seminggu yang lalu saya pernah tanya kepada Bante, Bante gimana caranya bunuh susah kita antara suami dan dia bilang cerai.
I said a week ago I asked a mom and how can I repay or pay all the debt between me and my husband, and then the monk said divorce. So divorce, yeah, that's divorce.
Apa?
Is that an answer of divorce?
So, gini Ci, saya klarifikasi dulu ya, gini, karena saya perlu perjelas ke beliau. Yang dimaksud utang karma kan gini, kalau saya menikah sama tante, contoh. Sama Cifani aja deh, berarti ada hutang karma artinya gini, saya harus memahami maksud Cici baru saya bisa jelasin.
Cinta tanpa pamrih, cinta dengan pamrih adalah akan menjadi hutang. Maksud kesimpulan saya, cinta tanpa pamrih, kalau kita dengan pamrih kita akan menjadi hutang terhadap siapapun, terhadap keluarga, apalagi keluarga. Cinta bukan berarti harus memiliki.
Somehow I try to clarify, but then she somehow cut me in the middle, and then he said the point is love without taking is like selfless love. That's the point. So if we have love, if we have selfish love, and then we will create suffering.
Yes.
And she also said the point is we have to love without wanting to possess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she best right.
Yeah. Betul kok, setuju. Honorable setuju dengan pertanyaan itu.
And I'm not a marriage counselor.
Dan beliau bukan penasihat perkawinan.
Okay, so I think it's time for us to indicate.
Jadi ini lah, diseru-seru udahan kan. Jadi waktunya tiba kita untuk melakukan doa dedikasi.
Okay, so now we have to change the energy.
Nah, kita mesti mengubah energinya kali ini, ya. Sekarang.
So, for a minute or two, think about some of the things you heard this evening so that you can take them home and practice them.
Ya, sementara 1-2 menit, Anda renungkan kembali satu atau beberapa hal yang Anda bisa bawa pulang, sehingga Anda bisa mempraktikannya. Dan kita bergembira, kita menggunakan malam seperti ini yang menghasilkan begitu banyak kebaikan.
And let's rejoice that we learn some new skills, hopefully, that we can put in practice in our lives that will help us.
Ya, dan kita bergembira karena kita telah mempelajari keterampilan baru yang bisa kita terapkan dalam kehidupan kita.
And that will help all the people around us as well.
Dan itu juga akan membantu menolong orang-orang yang ada di sekitar kita.
So let's dedicate all that goodness, all that merit.
Mari kita dedikasikan semua kebaikan itu dan jasa-jasa yang baik.
Seeing it as the light at the center of your heart that you radiate out, and it touches all beings.
Dan lihat kebajikan itu menjadi seperti cahaya yang keluar dari hati kita
dan menyentuh setiap hal.
And it purifies their mind, makes their mind peaceful and compassionate.
Memurnikan pikiran mereka, pikiran mereka menjadi damai dan berwelas kasih. Saya akan bacakan dalam bahasa Indonesia, Anda boleh mengikuti saya setelah saya berhenti sejenak. Semoga berkat kebajikan ini, kita semua segera mencapai kondisi pencerahan guru. Sehingga kita mampu membebaskan semua makhluk dari kita. Semoga pikiran bodi yang maha berharga, yang belum muncul dan berkembang, semoga yang sudah ada tidak berkurang, melainkan semakin bertambah.